Frank.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Dwayne.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, doing great.
All right. Black Monday, huh?
Yeah. To hear him talk on the news, you would think it was.
That was cute. Yeah, it's just a nice pullback.
Yeah, and by the end of the day, it could reverse itself, but
I
don't anticipate it.
Yeah, and even if it drops more, hey, so what? Better prices. But whatever. Everybody gets their own, you know. You know, as I suppose as it's going up, you want confirmation it's going to stabilize and continue to climb. But I don't know, the short side never has bothered me, you know.
Right.
Because I know, you know, it's like going to a water park. You know, do you like going down the slide, or do you just like climbing up it? You know what I mean. You know, I consider the going down just as much fun as coming up. It's when it's a big surprise when you're going along, and it goes down when you're not suspecting or not prepared for.
Yeah, it's fun for the intraday trader.
Yeah.
Who's aware of those dynamics?
Yeah.
For the guy, you know, punching the clock, 8 to 5 at the factory, and seeing his 401k. Take this horrible roller coaster ride. A little unsettling. So, but it is the nature of the markets.
Yeah.
And that guy punching that clock, feeding that 401k, and those people are, in fact, the backbone of America. They have to understand that what they're doing is not trading. What they are doing is investing, and investing is done for the long term.
Right.
And they have to be okay with that. And they really should turn off the CNBCs and the Mad Monies and all of those kinds of programs, because they're not going to say anything that's going to help them.
Correct. Yeah. That's really true. It's really, their focus needs to really be on the long term and know the big picture, at least from the chart point of view, because that way it helps to bring them more confidence. At least that's the way I look at it for when I do work with our long-term investing, IRA. So,
encourage us, my brother, encourage us.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was listening to your preaching this morning. You always got something good to say, so I was sitting there. What came to me when I just listening to you today was instead of what I was going to do, I thought I'd just flip with a couple things that are along the similar line with what you're talking about, forgiveness and because that is it's such a key issue in our walk in Christianity, and most importantly, it's a central theme in regards to prosperity. You know, it's the deal breaker, so to speak, with God. If you don't forgive, you know what? The deal is broken. He says, neither will I forgive you your many sins, you know. And Paul put it like this. In Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and I reach forth to those things which are before. So Paul knew going forward, you can't be looking in the rearview mirror, and you've got to be able to forgive others, and you've got to be able to forgive yourself. And one thing I learned a long time ago from another minister why problems arise and where they come from. And basically, he always uses a, a, kind of a showstopper or whatever you want to call it, something to get your attention. And I'm not sure exactly how you put this, but basically the scripture that I wanted to share next was in Proverbs 13:10, and this is what he would talk about, was only by pride cometh contention. There's no other reason that people get into unforgiveness except but by pride. And getting out of it, he explained it, and this is how he came up with it. There's two parts to pride. There's the pride of thinking that you're better than everybody else, and that's easy to spot. And most people would say, that's not me. But then there's the flip side of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
And the flip side of the coin is I'm just nothing but a worm. And I'm no good. And I'm this and I'm that. And it's all that put down stuff, but it all is in the bag that's marked unforgiveness. It's self pity. It's all self-consciousness, which is all carnality, we know, and it's all still concern for self. But there's got to be a place where you learn to not focus on self and not put down yourself, and there's a balance to the whole thing, and finding that happy balance, that medium, is a place where we need to all move towards, so we can enjoy the love of God, acceptance with God, and acceptance with others. And that's the place where true prosperity begins, is with when we have peace with God and peace with others. The Bible says to live in peace with all men. As best it suits you, I would say in modern day language, as best you can, and it's an easier said than done scripture, but it's a lifestyle that you'll learn to intellectualize it at first, and then internalize it into your heart and your life eventually. You've got to get to a place where I call it, like, it's a confession unto faith, and then it's a confession of faith. Meaning in the beginning, sometimes you may be confessing the right thing, but you don't believe it in your heart. But you know what? If it doesn't start with in your head, and it doesn't come out your mouth, it's like priming the pump. It'll never, ever take root, so to speak, those seeds and promises of God in that those particular areas. And everything, faith works by love. So, we're not going to be operating in faith. We'll be operating in fear, and let that which you fear, like Job, most likely will come upon you if you don't get out of the I'm down on me and I'm down on somebody else type of thing. And sometimes you need I really believe in the part where if it gets too much of a mind thing with you, to just simply, it's Jesus said to roll or cast your cares on him. It's like taking the problem. If you're rehashing it over and over, it's like just give it to him. Lord, I give you this, and I'm not going to touch it with my thought life. And every time it comes to me, I'm just going to, out loud, I'm going to give it to you. I cast my cares on you because you care for me. And if you get to that place where if you're insecure, and that's what it's popular in our world to be a victim and be insecure, but in God's kingdom, insecurity and fearfulness and that type of thing, there's no premium on it, none whatsoever. It doesn't mean he doesn't love us. It just means, that's not the medium of exchange. that he uses. Love and confidence and trust in him is premium. Distrust, you know, it's just, you know, nothing good comes from distrusting, you know. And the makeup, because it's just not part of the character and nature of God. And all you have to do is read over in 1 Corinthians 13, which gives us, you know, a pretty good rundown of the makeup of the God kind of love, or the love of God, however you want to say it. And just, you know, it's always believing the best. It's always hoping the best, you know. And it's just where we're supposed to live. So, let me see here. What I love about when you fulfill the scripture in there, in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, it says love suffers long, it's kind, it envies not, it vaunteth not itself, so, and it's not puffed up, it doesn't behave itself unseemly, it seeks not its own, and it's not easily provoked, it thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. And it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And it says in verse 8 that it never fails. God's kind of love never fails. So it's as we reach maturity in love, and love blossoms in our hearts and our lives, that is the foundation for financial success. You know, and before financial success, though, like I said, is peace. Peace in your own heart. And, you know, there's some people I know, you know, hey, they pay big money for big pills or big something, you know what I mean, to get peace in their life. When in actuality, if you swallow the gospel, little joke there, very little, right? Yeah. But anyways, the point is, if you get the gospel, which is the good news,
which is a tough pill for some to swallow.
It is, especially when you're dealing with big time hurts and big time wounds,
and big intellectual minds.
And big intellectual minds is for sure. You can talk yourself and talk others out of a lot of the blessings of God. But there's a lot of people, like I said, that are just so wounded. They're like a lion, you know, where you've seen in the cartoons or the movies in times past where, you know, it's got the thorn in its paw and, you know, the little mouse comes up and, you know, nobody dare come near the lion. He just starts going berserk. He's so angry. And at that point in time, and the little mouse comes up and, you know, sees the pain that the lion's in and perceives that's his problem, you know. And at risk of his own life getting snuffed out, he goes and he bravely goes up and pulls that the thorn out. And the pain stops for the lion. And, of course, this is a cartoon, right? But the bottom line is it's the truth. When the pain stops in a person's heart, when God, let the Lord pour the oil of gladness inside you, I'm telling you, you get to a place where you think different. It's not, you don't think about self. You don't think about your hurt. You don't think of all the bad things of the past. That you just naturally will start graduating towards looking towards a future. It's kind of like, you know, the sun starts to, you know, to peek through in your heart, and it's the Son of God. It's the light of God. It's the love of God. So, I think you hit on just a real. There's nothing more important than the topic of love and forgiveness. In fact, it's one and the same. Because you can't be walking in love being in unforgiveness. And so, if we you know, a lot of people want to just, you know, focus on their finances, you know, and just, you know, have it all together and think that it's going to somehow, you know, be apart from working with people. God, listen, if you, even if you create all your, and generate all your finances trading on the side in a certain degree of isolation, you know, when you're said and done, there's still a point in time where, you know what, God's expecting us to go out and to be become a generous, hilarious, quick and prompt to do it giver. And people are going to become, you know, the major focus and source where our funds are going to be go towards. So it's something where you have to take risks, and sometimes it's, you know, when you're working with people, because of all the different attitudes and positions and places that they may be at, not going out equipped full of love, you know what, can just add to the pain and the hurt and the going backward and starting to count to all the bad things that ever happened. Oh gosh, see it happen once again. Here I went out and I tried, you know, I tried, you know. I mean, a lot of people get hooked up, a lot of women that, you know, and well, men too, I suppose, you know, I'll never trust again, you know, because they got somebody betrayed them. Just think, if Jesus had that attitude, where would we be? You know, Judas betrayed Jesus, Peter, you know, I mean, they all, it's like...
Everybody fell asleep in the garden.
Everybody's sleeping, yep. Can't you be, you know, watch with me for 1 hour, you know what I mean? I mean, Jesus is a man's man, gosh, you know, just the Son of Man, the Son of God, but, you know, I can't imagine praying and sweating, you know, blood, you know, that you are that fervent in prayer. I mean, you are that, you just that worked up over it all, but, you know.
Guilt.
He was taking the cares of the world and took the sins of the world, so.
Guilt is the building blocks of this universe in which we live. Fuels everything. And Son of God, Son of Man, comes, climbs up on a cross, and says, look, you're forgiven.
Yeah.
But we continue to walk around filled with anger and resentment and unforgiveness and self-hatred, and we abuse ourselves and we cut ourselves, and we can't accept the forgiveness that we've been given.
Mm-hmm.
We continue to walk and believe that we are separated from God. How can we be separated from God? He created us in His own image. We have to simply accept the forgiveness that Christ offered from that cross, walk in it,
amen,
live in it, and share it.
That's it.
And everybody's got a list. Well, I forgive most stuff. I forgive most people.
Mm-hmm.
But that one thing that one guy did, you know what? Let it go. There's no benefit. Harboring that, there's no benefit. Only to your tormentor is there benefit. The only benefit comes from the one that did you wrong that you won't forgive, because he still has power over you.
Mhm. Yeah, it's just a big old trick of the enemy.
It is.
And like, again, it's the work of the flesh, because it's just simply focusing on self rather than focusing and putting God first, others second, and you on the back burner. You still got you on the front burner. Poor old me. You know, it's a martyr type of a self martyr type of thing, and it's not it in as far as our thinking goes, our thinking is not supposed to be on those types of things, actually right behind in Philippians 4, tells you, you know, the things you're supposed to think on. If we used that as a filter, well, we'd clean up, you know, the cobwebs of our mind. And that's what it's designed to do. God's Word is a filter. God's Word is a helmet. God's Word is our protection. You know, from the top to the bottom, we have protection. And we, you know, it's not just all defense. We've got offensive weapons of speaking that Word that has the ability to, you know, shut the devil up and get him running. So, well, that's kind of off the path of the area I was going to go in, but I couldn't help but chirping in.
Amen, brother.
A little bit in that area. It's just so, and it's not like it's something that I don't, or, you know, or ministers that, you know, like we're somehow exempt from these thoughts or these attacks or the temptation to fall into the traps of the enemy. You know, we're supposed to encourage one another daily, and this is exactly what you're doing. You encouraged me just by listening, you know, what you started, and so it's
praise God.
You know, and I'm sure any other ministers that ever listen to, you know, the program or preaching along these same similar lines, you know, they actually can identify with the temptation not to love and walk in love. You know what I mean? Because they're working with so many more people who are actually fighting the good fight of faith in these areas themselves. And when you're full of faith and you're full of love, in the sense you have forgiven and you have forgotten and you are working forward, going forward in God, it's easy to work with people with their, you know, with their stuff. But boy, if you just let a little bit, the Bible says a little bit of leaven, a little bit of wrong teaching, a little bit of leaven, or wrong doctrine will leaven the lump. And wrong teaching would, you know, or thinking in that area is, well, I can, you know, just be secretly, you know, not like this one person, but, you know, it just grows into hatred, you know, and you just, you know, every time you see them, you just can't stand them, and you know something's going wrong, something's going awry inside. So we got to keep a handle on it. That daily, I die daily.
Amen.
Paul said. So these
Amen.
Are the areas we have to die to self.
All right, brother. Thank you, Frank.
Well, thank you.
We'll be back tomorrow.
All right. God bless you.
All right, buddy.